Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 61 of Coffee and Shell, Team of the Year edition. As myself, Sleeves, joined by Kesso and Padre, we are going to talk about the Team of the Year as well as the first event in the NHL 23 World Championship. And we've got some pretty special interviews from the two technically best players in the world right now, from NA Regs and Eki from the EU region. You guys will see the interviews at the end. We had to record them kind of earlier in the week because, well, Regs is in Vegas and Eki lives across the world. So
dude, this is kind of nice. We already have most of our episode done, right?
I know, it is kind of nice. It feels good. Although that was like a 3-day coffee and chill.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get right into Team of the Year. I don't care about your life right now, all right? We need to talk about the biggies that were released. So we got six new cards, the Team of the Year for this year, much better than last year, just in terms of HUT, because we had, I think we had Marchand, Rantanen, and McDavid. Although we did get Hedman and Makar, so I feel like on the back end, Hedman's probably kind of missed. But the three forwards were pretty ridiculous this year. They went away with the position locking, and we got Matthews, McKinnon, and McDavid. So we'll start with you, Padre. What was your initial reaction to all six of the selections? Did they get it right? Or
100%. And it's the best three forwards. I can't say that because Draisaitl is really. Can you guys hear the Roomba?
It's
really funny because it just went by in the background.
Yeah,
that's
what
got
me. That was hilarious, right?
Yeah.
You see that went by.
It just slowly went by. That's what got me.
I didn't know if it'd be that loud or not.
Wasn't really loud. It went by in the background. And that was funny.
My bad. So, anyways.
All right. What did you think of them?
3, 2, and 1. I loved every pick. And I never give them a lot of great credit with stuff because I always feel like they butcher things when it comes to real life hockey. But these are the best three most dynamic forwards in the league. Like when it comes to skating, you have the two fastest probably skaters with the puck. You have one of the best shots in the world, Matthews. And I love Draisaitl too. That's not a knock on him. He's a stud.
Do you think McKinnon over Draisaitl is the right move?
I do because he won the cup and he's the highest paid player right now in the league. So, he's technically, who would you rather have, McKinnon or Draisaitl if you made a team?
That's such a hard question.
That's a very hard, in hindsight, I guess technically McKinnon because he's a Stanley Cup champion, he's won it.
Yep.
But, it's not like they didn't get to the conference final. That's very tough. That's a very tough question, actually.
If you replace last year's team and you replace McKinnon with Draisaitl, they win the cup, right?
They still probably win the cup.
That team does. I'm saying, if you were building a hockey team and you had to pick from one of those two, who would you pick?
McKinnon. I guess Draisaitl just gets so, crapped on because McDavid's there. But when McDavid was hurt, Draisaitl won the heart, correct, last year?
He's a great player. Awesome player. Future Hall of Famer. So
I still take McKinnon.
I think it's McKinnon. So I loved it. I'll say I guess who I built real quick just because I still do the same. So I moved to Old Gen. I didn't have as much time. And all the people out there know I never spent any money. I got a donation. I got a donation from one of my longtime buddies, and he saw my team. He was like, buddy, go get a better team. This happened, and I was like, all right, fine. And I told Sleazy about it. I'm like, I can't be that big of a jerk and be like, thanks for the $250. I'm just going to put it in my pocket and not do what you ask. I just feel like too big of a jerk to do it. So I actually, I spent $150, I think, or something like that. And I got nothing in the pack, shocker. I actually opened my new gen packs for fun on my console that I was saving up, or my new gen team, for like months on end, pulled nothing. So yeah, I ended up building one of the 35 trade-ins, which Junior Penn's our buddy. He did it like five times in typical horseshoe up his butt like he always does. Never gets unlucky. Never gets a duplicate. Yeah. He got every single team of the year besides Shesterkin and didn't re-roll any twice where he had a dupe. I'm like, you are so lucky. Dude. So I did it. And of course, I'm sitting in the Discord. I think you might have been in there. I'm like, oh, let me see if I can. Hopefully I don't get Makar. And I think I said Shesterkin. I get Makar and Shesterkin. And I did it on New Gen. I got Makar and Shesterkin again. They will
That's
not leave
wild.
Me alone. And so, and I know a lot of people that are watching this probably like, oh my gosh, Makar is amazing. I understand. Like, I'm not used to these. You don't play.
Yeah.
It feels so weird having him. So I got Makar. I saved myself probably 150, 160K by doing that. And then I spent everything on my team to build Matthews. So hopefully this week I get one more. And from the consensus of everyone telling me what to get, everyone says I need to get that McKinnon with the Unstoppable Force. So I think I'm going to try to get three done.
What'd you do, Kazzo?
Yeah, I built all of the skaters except for Makar. So, like, I'm similar to Padre, where I built Makar last year, I think.
I'm so stunned you built Yossi.
Yeah, well, so I had his X Factor. Like, at
90. Never mind then.
And I made his X Factor with the never intention. Mind. Like, I got him out of a set, so I'm like, I might as well. Mm-hmm. Makar I skipped because I know down the line there's going to be right-handed defensemen I think are going to be better, like 94 or 95 overalls. Mm. Not only that, like, the appeal to him are like the abilities around the team of the year, right? There are so many like abilities on these players. You can't activate them all.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like why would I get a team of the year Makar that's upgrading to 99 if I'm not going to use his abilities?
Mm-hmm.
So I made all the skaters with exception to him. One thing I do want to say about these cards, EA Hawk and I think Moose, like whoever made the abilities around them, I think they crushed it. Like, they gave all of the players, like, and the goalie as well. Like, these are probably, since X-Factors have been introduced in the game with the abilities, like, they're the best cards that I think have been made and, like, crafted. They all have meta abilities. They all have really good zone abilities, I think. Like, Gold 1T, I think, is still, like, up for discussion. But other than that, like, these cards are, like, really good.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I totally agree. I think that... Yeah, the abilities, I wonder if we're getting, because like, I've been saying this for quite some time now, like, even when a card has, like, attribute deficiencies, they seem to know how to, like, counterbalance that with a great ability, and you're running into this situation now where if you have an amazing team, and you have a pretty good team, too, where, like, man, like, there's so many good abilities, it's very difficult to, like, you know, use even, like, on your second line, like, it's very difficult, especially with this team of the years. What was some of the abilities you liked the most on each card?
I think the McKinnon one with Unstoppable Force.
That's
like,
nice.
Dude, I think that's the best one. Like, I think after this, we'll have to do our own, like, rankings here, but I think Unstoppable Force on McKinnon. And then I'm running into the point where it's like, they all have so many good abilities. It's like, you can't use 40 points on three players, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, just like trying different ones out. Like, I like the Elite Edges on McDavid. I'm still like unsure about the no contest on Matthews. I had like Gren said, it's great. Like,
it's hard to quantify. It's one of those ones where you don't, like, it doesn't appear where it would be like, oh, that's because of that. Always those kind of abilities make it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's so hard just because like these cards have like five good abilities. So it's like, are you really going to use all your points? Well, I guess it's 50 now. They upped it, but. It's tough, but I mean,
do you think that we're getting to the point where there's too many abilities added in the game? Like, or the ability point thing? Like, do you think if they go to like 60 before GWC is over, that makes it almost comical, or is it just like everyone has this like stacked teams now? So it's like,
yeah, no, I mean, I think it's like, I like the decision. I think it should remain at 50.
50's pretty safe, yeah.
Yeah, I think 50's pretty safe. It's hard because there's only like five good abilities in the game and they all cost the most, right? So like right now there's a decision.
Do you think that's an issue that it appears that like the content team knows how to make a good card, which is great. Like that is a plus. Like what you just said, I echo 100%. Like they know the abilities to put on these cards to make them like wanted chaseable ones. Do you think that is will eventually become a negative thing because we really only see like the same like five to seven abilities?
Yeah, it will. And I mean, we've noticed this last year too. Whenever they release like last year, I think like so many cards with like gold tape to tape or something, right? Because they like love that one or something. So it is an issue because we don't see the other abilities that show up in the game. And I think this is like one of those things where it's like the content team's fighting the gameplay team, to where like
the
content team can only make cards around what the game is, right? And the game has a clear meta. There's only a few things that are actually like viable to do in the game. So they're going to put those cards out. They all have the same abilities. They all cost a lot. So like until the gameplay gets to a point where, you know, other types of or other styles of play are like actually viable to use in like competitive gameplay, then we're just going to see this, right? Or until they get to the point where you can substitute silver and like gold abilities in and out, right? Like so like until we get to that point. What's that?
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because this is what we talk about like all season long now, ever since last year when X-Factors became a thing, is that X-Factors are like the new hotness when the game launches, because they're usually the best cards just because of the ability to upgrade, right? They get highest, like they're always the highest, and they have abilities, because even though like an 89 Matthews might come out, it might only have one ability, so it's not like it's... But now you see when cards like Team of the Year come out, like those are handpicked, the best like six abilities you can have. If Austin Matthews, if you have Austin, I said this in my video, if you had Austin Matthews X Factor, or if you had all three of the forwards X Factors, and you could only make one, it's 1000% Matthews, because at least McDavid and McKinnon, like their cards are already so fast and good that like if you couldn't upgrade to their Team of the Year, at least you have Matthews because his card is now useful, whereas his X Factor was just... It's awful. Like it's not good. They need to do a kind of rehashing of the X factors at the launch of the game. I think I made Makar and then the three forwards. I've made Yossi and I will make Yossi. Shesterkin's awful, or at least the consensus that I've had in my community, where it's the only one where people have been like, I hate him.
Can I tell a quick story? Last night I was in Discord. Our buddy Joey Bags, a longtime, you know, veteran like us, and me and Joey were kidding around. He's a Rangers fan. He's like, I'm going to put every single ability on Shesterkin and play five games. And Joey's just comedy, like always. And he was chanting Igor, you know how they do it at the Rangers games every time he makes a save. And then he probably let in like six others. You know? I'm like, and we don't say Igor. But he's not it. Like, I'm sorry.
There's nothing you can do, man. There's nothing you can do. This state of goaltending, we've talked about this for just hours on this podcast. Like, until if they were to go back to NHL 22, goaltending situation where they remove the human animations and, you know, or actually make it where the AI goaltender can decide between what it wants to do fast enough, until one of those two things happen, it does not matter what goaltender you put in. So, in my opinion, he's the most expensive backup goalie in the game. Because at least you get a huge synergy bump, because you're getting two synergies that are, or three synergies that are double. Yeah. So that's pretty huge. But other than that, I've McDavid, man. We gotta have a quick talk about McDavid, because I don't know. I'm not concerned yet, but I'm a little eyebrow raised. So oops, my camera froze. 1 second, guys. I'll fix that as I talk. But the one issue that I'm running into with McDavid is when he has the puck, like in the corner, left and right, it is insane. And you notice the acceleration from dead stop. You notice the cut with the lead edges. All of that is phenomenal. I can go to the corner and come out and shoot far side, like extremely easy. But man, every time he gets bumped, and I don't know if it's because everyone's running truculence. There's a lot of truculence players now, or at least many more than there was. He just gets munched. And I don't mean like a stumble, like he just falls apart like a paper house. And I didn't notice that on his X factor at all. So I'm wondering if you, if you noticed that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have, and I think it's just because like this is something I was talking about whenever I was streaming this weekend, right? Like the whole entire consumer base very excited for Team of the Year, right? People are like, I saved up for this. Yeah. I'm gonna get like four or five like 92s on my team. Like I'm gonna be so much better now. But like also everybody that plays this game
line, man, and
also has this. So you never notice like you actually getting a better card, right? So you're putting out that McDavid against like Team of the Year, Yossi and Makar, or like some of the MSPs that had truculence.
Like Fair, he had truculence. Weider still has truculence.
Yes. You never notice the progression, right? So like I think that's just an issue in like any ultimate team game.
That's true. It very well could be. Like I'll say this though, when you match up against someone that does not have that first line, because a lot of people do in Division 1 and 2, it feels like the launch of the game. Like, these three cards just fly. Like, it legitimately feels like when you get X-Factor McDavid or Barzal or Larkin, I think it was, at launch of the game, where they were just built different, like, way faster than the majority of the player base, just like the cards in the game. But those all catch up. The other cards will catch up. It just, when you combine matching up with players that maybe started on the holidays and their team isn't strong, you definitely notice these things. But Team of the Year was good. I got to do that thing with Trevor Zegras, which was really cool. I was blown away to get to do that. He was really awesome as well. I can definitely see why he's going to be like the most marketed person in the NHL very shortly if he isn't already. I'm gonna make Yossi. He's the only skater where I've heard even the slightest like bad thing about him. He's been
because I think the thing with him is that like
he's has gold, mid when his attributes because
like whenever fast, he gets like, upgraded he'll be fine. Like yes, I think like the mid 90s he'll be fine, which
I bet
is
he's
like
better than McCarr at 99.
Yes, but like so he has gold 1T. We don't know if that works yet. I know you said it doesn't. I'm still like
I
on said the that fence.
I'm just I haven't seen any evidence of it, but I don't take any, no one takes point shots. Literally no one takes point shots.
I think he's better if you give him like silver truculence or gold truculence, just because that compensates and makes him better than some other options. He does have like silver stick him up, which is like So like right now he's just like he's just okay. Like, is he worth a million or whatever it costs? No, he's not. I think he eventually will be.
Yeah.
So like it's he's kind of just underwhelming.
When I first originally looked at them, Padre, I don't know if you noticed this too, it seemed like they were kind of cheap. But then you go do the math, they're like a million each. And I think that in prior games, could you imagine, like, if you're on your team, even though you started again on PlayStation 4, but, like if you were to make three of them, that's 3 million in coins. Like, I don't feel like in any other NHL game, because of, like, the hut inflation that we've gotten from the objective system now, where you just get coins every single game or everything you do, like, that is, it didn't seem as expensive as it was, but now it's, like, when you look at it, it's, like, almost a million for each one.
Yeah, I think we talked about this off the podcast. It's kind of crazy now because everyone knows like what's coming and everyone was just ready for it. Where back in the day I feel like it was like, whoa, you have five, you spent so much money, or you know, and you still it's different for everybody, right? You know, I had to spend, like I said, $150 probably to get two, in my opinion, you know, ish. And that's like with a little, that's 1 week of Hut Champs, saving my packs, had 300k. So I mean, and I got it by tooth and nail. Now I think this week I might be able to make one more because I got high in champs. And we're going to get a crap load of packs, me and Kessel will. And you got to play too. We'll talk about it in a second. The All-Star game open. So there's really good rewards for that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it was a really good six players. Shesterkin, it is what it is. He's a goalie. But I think it was really good. I'm curious to see, you know, how the McDavid thing works out, because we talked about that a little bit. And I love the Matthews so far, and the weirdest thing is I put him on center, and I've never done that before, and I know that sounds weird because he's a center.
No, but his X-Factor is awful at center. Like, it's a very mediocre center.
Right, and with this game, with the backdoors not working like they used to, I used to always just come down the boards. It was how I won the GWC, the Blues bracket. I came down the boards with Lemieux. I sauced it over to Matthews, and he banged it home because he had a great one-timer. He still does, but with how this game is, it's like, man, I think I'm just going to have to play him on center and get his face off all the way up, and you know, and that's what he's going to be my center. What do you think about that, Kessel? Because you kind of think we're the same way in the years past with him on the wing.
Yeah. So, like, I activated the silver quick draw, and I didn't notice it too much.
I didn't either.
And I was kind of disappointed.
I don't know how. I mean, I'm kind of a freak for faceoffs.
Yeah. But, like, I'm good at them, and I have, like, 60% plus. And
maybe it's because we're going against Beagle all the time, too.
Like, Beagle throws a wrench in the works.
And Krejci.
there's a couple guys with actual quick draw now, but I mean, even 60%, like, it will win you the ones unless you have someone that's going up against or quick draw, right? Like, you will win those
60% is good, and like that's what I was at, but like I feel like I'm usually higher, especially with like Beagle, because like I deactivated gold quick draw to whenever I got like the new so what I was thinking about, and I was curious what you guys think, like, I think it's too much to run all three of these guys on the first line, because like most people are like allocating all their AP to these guys, right? So I was thinking about dropping one and just putting in like a good winger. Maybe I drop Matthews to the second line and put Beagle on like the first.
That's probably, I was going to say, but that's probably the one, because I mean, the thing about McDavid and Matthews, they don't need abilities. Because right now in the game, there's four cards. Well, there's two that have 99 speed. There's maybe three. I think maybe Solani, but I don't know if he can get to 98 or if it's 99. And Gartner and then McDavid. So, in my opinion, I mean, Ecky will talk about this and spoiler in the interview in a little bit, but you don't like need anything really on him if he has 99 speed at this stage of the game, because there's no like that's enough of a separator compared mm-hmm. to the rest of the cards that you're going up against. So, but Matthews, and this is what I'm about to say about Josi Makar, even though he's a bit small right now, he's still one of the best defensemen right now for sure, because his speed advantage is elite. Like, that's a large gap. A lot of players only have 90, 91, 92-ish skaters. You know, him having 99 is definite advantage. The other guys, like Josi and Matthews, are at, like, 91 or 92, so it's not as a big gap. He'd probably be the one. I'd probably put Beagle back up at one, but it's so cool to have those three hop over the boards, man. It's, like, it's a nice little flex. Like, my second line is Lemieux, Beagle, Gretzky. Like, and it feels fun. It feels fun flying out over the boards. I do love having two quick draws. I've never really had that. I now think about it more than ever when I'm in my zone. And I'm like, all right, Beagle's going back out there. Because I know that I'll win the draw, especially in my own zone because of the boost to tie-ups.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do. Again, it's just really hard with so many good abilities, man. But
rankings for him, like, do we have a 6-1?
I'll go first and let me tell and ask you.
Yeah, because you probably have it in a video, right?
Yeah, but I did it situationally because I think it's impossible to rank. Yeah. I think it's impossible to rank 1-6. Right. It's all based on situation. Shesterkin is a do not make. Unless you are a Rangers fan or you like Shesterkin, would not make. That's not worth a million. Next is Josi, only because I've heard, I've not heard any complaints at all about any of the other ones, and not that many about Josi, but if you were to like, okay, I can make one, Josi would be 5. Just like then. And then it's like, okay, do you have any of the X factors, right? Because if you have an X factor, my opinion is you need to switch it. Like, you need, yes. Because like that's half. Like, you're, you know, there's a lot of people that have been asking, like, okay, I have Makar, is X factor, should I just go and make Matthews and whatnot? And it's like, I guess, but like, I would try and change your X factor.
I think that's a good idea, though.
It's because, close. Like, it's a lot of.
I think it's situational too, though. You have to play. If you're a good HUT Champs player, you're going to get 5-7.
Yeah.
Collectibles a week to bump the Makar up. That's why when Kessa, when you said you had his X factor, right, Makar?
Yeah. No, I had Josi.
Well, if you ever get his X factor and you really wanted to use Makar, you could just his X factor.
Makar's X factor is the one that's most similar to the TCU because it's very, very close. I think Makar gets shut down, which is nice because it's a semi-truculence like hitting ability. But then when it comes to forwards, if you add all three other X factors, 1,000% need to make Matthews, at least. Like, if you could only do one, Matthews for sure. But then McKinnon, man, for me, moved over McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you have McDavid's X factor, you could just leave him and feel okay. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but...
I do too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so... All right, it sounds like we're all on the same page. Are we all on the same page there?
Yep. Yeah, I have McKinnon at number one.
I have McKinnon number one as well. In terms of just like in a vacuum, I think Matthews is the one that you need to switch again. Because if, like I said, if you can only make one and you had every single X factor for all six of them, Matthews' X factor is useless. It's not useless. Well, it is because you're going to have to spend like $2
million. You're not going to use any of the upper abilities on him either.
Yeah, it's just not. There's no point to it. You might as well just wait until the end of the game and get team of the season for him. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the NHL 23 World Championship All-Star Open. That is a mouthful. It is the first GWC event for North America. It is open, so this is a brand new event that has never happened with the former Gaming World Championship, now called the NHL 23 World Championship, where the top four players, top one from each of the four consoles, are going to go to Florida for the All-Star Game to play in a mini tournament. That is kind of the kickoff to GWC. Super excited to go myself. The February 1st, I believe, is when it's going to take place. But you guys got to compete in it and see like the first like competitive thing of NHL 23. What did you think, and how did your runs go?
Yeah.
Padres is long.
Oh, okay. So I went 20-5, and we have an hour and 8 minutes left.
He's got it up. You got that up on the screen, don't you?
I haven't seen it on my screen. I've been checking it. Yep. there's this one guy that could pass me up. And I'm telling you right now, Goofy NHL or Yasonk, I swear to God, if either of you win trade, I will get you banned so fast your head will spin. Because I got screwed this weekend, in my opinion. Obviously, the competition's not as good on PS4. There was a guy I matched up with. Anybody that's on PS4, anybody out there, and I'm hoping this gets fixed. Knock on wood, it probably won't be. If you go and go over to your round points on the leaderboard, any leaderboard, Hut Champs, apparently GWC, it will give you an error code. Sometimes it happens right away, and in my case, it can happen 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I mean, it just varies. I went over after a game and looked on the leaderboard to see my round points. Thought, okay, there's round points, whatever. Got in a game. Sleeves was in the Discord with me and watched this happen verbatim. I get a game, like, let's just pretend me and No Sleeves match up. It shows our logos at the screen. Bam, get an error code. Every single time you check your round points, you get an error code. So I got a loss that way, and it was against a kid I actually DNF'd about 30, 40 minutes before that, 4-0 in 18 minutes. So I think I would have won again. So I'm probably going to either miss by one win, and I'll be in spot number 17, or I might somehow in the next hour be okay and finish 16th, and I'm going to be a dangerous 16 seed, I'll tell you that much. So it was an okay week. I played with an 86 overall team. It was tough, but when I got my team of the years, I'll tell you that, like, if I had those team of the years, like, the whole weekend, which I guess I could have waited, but I feel like with how the time works and the time with, like, my kids, and so I couldn't swing it all in, like, 2 days or whatever, so I think it would have been pretty tough, but I think I would have done a lot better. Those team of the years are really freaking good. Even Makar, just like I used them basically like a hybrid forward. I just ran up with them and stuff. And the kids are so bad on here, you could do that. But if I was like playing Kesso and I did that with Makar, I would get killed.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited to see.
This is going to be a mess.
PS4, if you finish 17, that's phenomenal. No, it sucks, man. Like, that's the one issue with the open play. Because there's no admin. So in like the early years of the GWC, it was done all off game. It was done on Versus, and essentially if there was an issue like this where the game didn't work, like air it out, things like that, your admin, whatever, would just take care of it. So this is an issue. Hopefully it gets taken care of. This issue is only happening on PS4, it appears, though, guys, by checking your round points and getting an error code. So just a little heads up. So that you guys don't get caught up in that.
It happened to me last year too with a disconnect. So
that's why it's so funny to me. Yeah, in literally, like, he got disconnected via internet that cost him one win, which would have qualified him for the GWC, which is like just it's gnarly. Like,
and it happened in my last game last year too.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
You can't make it up.
Yeah. So how did your run go,
dude? I'm an idiot, man. That's what happened. So, dude, I started off an electric.
He's down in the dumps.
I am. I started off like an electric, like 15-1. I had like a 3.5 hour stream on Thursday night.
You were struggling in those too, because I remember when I hopped in your stream early.
Yeah,
it might have been right around that one loss you had.
That was the second game. Yeah.
Yeah. It was early on, and the mood and the vibes were not good. Yes, and I didn't watch the rest of the
stream. I figured out the issue. So, like, I was like, started 1-1, and I reached out to Sap Alien, who is probably like a top 5 player in the world right now.
I personally think he's up
there. Yeah. So, like, I was like, dude, I'm struggling, like, my neutral zone, whatever. Like, so he sent me some messages, flew in some strats for me, told me some things, and he pretty much told me to stop forward checking because, like, I'm an idiot, right? Because it doesn't work in this game. And I've always had like a really good forward check, but it doesn't work in this game. Like, it just doesn't. You don't get the poke checks back, whatever. So I made some adjustments thanks to Coach Sap. And then I was like 15-1. And then I ended the night there, started up the next night, and I had a couple bad losses. You saw one of them where it was just like,
I watched a puck. That was like gauntlet. You had
a puck just went off like a couple people and like went in with like 50 seconds left. So like I lost that game. So at one point, I think it was like 17-4. And I was like, oh, my run's over. I was like, you're going to need like 22, 23 points. So I was on tilt and I just played more games and I was running at people and I lost like 4 straight. And then I looked at the leaderboards right before we recorded this, and like 20 wins makes it on PS5. Yeah. Like, if I just took a break and just played my last 4 games, I'd probably be in the closed bracket, but I was just not in a good place. And this game will do it. So, like, I feel good because, like, you know, me at my worst, 17 wins on tilt. Like, I think I can make the stadium series, like, bracket pretty easily. Yeah. So that should be good.
So for anyone that doesn't know, guys, the stadium series is coming up in 2 weeks. So the top 16, we're about to find out live, essentially, in about an hour. But by this time Wednesday, you'll know who the top 16 for each console is. Next weekend, they will play via a bracket, and then be able to play each other. And we'll get down to our one from each console, and they will go to Florida, where they'll join me, where I'll be hopefully casting it. Knock on wood, nothing happens. So it should be exciting. But yeah, it is the first event. I do love that they are doing more events. I think that this is needed. Like to in prior years, it was like, okay, it gets announced, and then all right, we've got five months of like qualifying or whatever, and then it's like, okay, there's a LAN in June, right? So
The Stadium Series is definitely the less sexy.
It's weird. You don't want. I mean, Florida or Rally. It's
I'll take what I can get if I can qualify for like even the qualifiers. For
yeah,
one of
exactly.
Them, yeah.
So that'll be fun to watch. I've been stream hopping a lot this weekend. I tweeted out that I saw four guys, me, Henrique, and Thrash. We weren't streaming at all, and I looked at the directory, and there was like six guys with over 100 viewers. Mm. And I personally like seeing that. Like that's good. I think that high tides rise all ships. Is that the saying?
Yeah, I
like
have
seeing,
no idea.
I like seeing new streamers.
You know, I had a good reply to that. I said lots of stream sniper.
That's
lots
fine.
Of
whatever gets them in. But that's
what
thing.
It is.
That's the thing. Even if people are watching so that they don't get games against them, they're still watching. And
no,
it's
I agree.
Different
I,
people,
I just,
right? Like I just thought, like I like seeing that because having the same people at the top, things get stale, and I don't think that's good for the directory. So it was really fun. If you are someone that's competitive, if you're near the top and you're listening to this, please just stream your games, even if it's out without a camera. You'd be stunned that people, how many people, A, just don't want to play you, and B, want to see how you play and hear your takes on the game and everything like that. So make sure that you do. Man. So I think it's time. Anything else you guys want to get after?
I know, dude. We have like two interviews here, which are
long,
I think,
too. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Buckle up. So we are first one up is my boy Regzy. He is currently in Vegas and he did qualify. He literally
big shocker.
Yeah, the New York Islanders, his gaming team, they rented him out of space in Vegas so that he could wake up at like 10. Dude, I don't know how he did that. But I mean, I guess I could have rallied when I was younger. But he's with all his boys. He woke up at 10 to like noon, went and got his games done, qualified for the bracket, and we'll see. But yeah, he is. We recorded that before he left, and then Eki we did a couple days ago. So hope you guys enjoy the interviews. Let us know if you want us to bring on some other of the top end competitors and things like that. And that's gonna do it for this episode. So enjoy the interview, guys. All right, so we are joined by the best player in the world. Technically, I think that's like a. Like, it's actually, like, confirmed now in NHL. My man, Regzy, we're going to talk about the other one linked with you and Eki a little bit later on. But, man, how you doing, and how's being the best player in the world? How's it feel?
I wouldn't call myself the best player in the world. But, no, you know, doing good. You know, I appreciate you guys having me on here, get to talk about that Regs versus Eki matchup a little bit and, you know, expand on the GWC this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. I was just gonna say
you brought up the Isles matchup and we were all excited, like at least us in here, we were excited to watch you play because you're really big on the I'm not trying to like crap on or anything, but you circle a lot and you look for the perfect pass, and I was like, how is he gonna do that this year? Because not to say that like you can't still score, but it's like you can't do one timers anymore. You were like notorious for like you'd like hit like a one timer like almost in the corner like last year. I remember like watching you at GWC. So I was curious, like going into that game, I know Sleazy said you didn't play the game a ton. Like what was your thought process with like how like what's your thought process on this game, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
So like the first like 2-3 weeks of the game I really was going through a struggle process because I had to like change things completely. It's like, okay, I've been scoring this way for 7 years now, all of a sudden I can't do it anymore. So
right.
Back to the drawing board, but at the time, going into that matchup with Eki, like I was so busy with school, just like reports, exams, presentations, everything. So I haven't really been playing the game a lot. I still couldn't score the rap at that time, but I knew Eki didn't know that. So I told myself, I'm going to try it like 3 times right off the rip to make him think that I know what I'm doing on this.
I can't believe you can't do the simplest goal.
I could do it now. I could do it now. But I wanted to put it in his head like, you know, I'm able to do everything. So, you know, keep him honest that way. But no, I actually felt like game one was my best game, which was the one I lost funny enough. But I think we all know that's how this game goes. But no, you know, it was three really competitive games. Eki, It's an incredible player. There's a reason why he's just dominated the European side for four or five years now. But yeah, no, it's an incredible experience. Jordan, all the Islander staff that worked on it, all the FaZe guys did a phenomenal job. I was super happy and privileged to be a part of that.
That Spinarama goal you scored was like sick.
Yeah,
I think that was in game two, maybe, I forget, but I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, game three, that's how I opened game up. Three. Okay. Yeah, that's how I opened up game three. But that goal, like, if you get the Spinarama clean around the guy, you'll score that like 70-80% on the shot. Like, the goalie just sits butterfly and is really slow moving side to side off it. I don't know why, but yeah, no, I've had lots of success with that goal this year. And then just, yeah, no, like Stu alluded to earlier, like, I don't think I scored an actual one-timer, like a couple cross creases, just like forehand to forehand, but like non-natural, like one-timer slap shot. So no, I've had to adapt and play a lot differently this year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Leading into, like, so I'm assuming that you're going to be trying for the All-Star game qualifier, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're doing to, like, get ready for it? Are you scrimming against anybody you know, or are you just, like, so confident now? Like, you've been there before, you've done it however many years in a row. Like, do you feel confident going into it, or are you doing anything in particular?
Not doing anything particular just yet. You know, I just got to make that top 16, and then I'm going to go from there. I'm actually going on a boys trip. I leave tomorrow morning to Vegas, so I'm actually going to be playing my games at an esports facility in Vegas.
HyperX?
Velocity Esports is called.
Okay.
It's one on the strip, but yeah, I'm going to be playing all my qualifying games there, so just making sure I get those games.
How does that work? I've never, because when I was with Lazarus, there's a little backstory to that whole thing when I was playing games from an airplane, apparently. But so how do you play in Vegas? Because Charlie wanted to set me up in Vegas when I was with Lazarus to play at like a place, I guess, like that. And I'm assuming Jordan or Charlie set you up probably with that. How does that work? Like, do you have to bring your console? Do you have to, like, I mean, I know, like, they have, like, probably, like, a monitor, so, like, but, like, the game and the controller, you know, like, how does that work? Do you know yet?
Yeah, so it's a full-on esports studio or a facility. Jordan set it up. It's kind of like a barcade. Like, there's esports, like areas you play in, then there's also like a restaurant inside and like an arcade with just like games and stuff. So they've been great. Like, I haven't gone down there yet, but just for the preparation for it, they've been fantastic to work with. They were able to get their hands on an Xbox. They already got the old gen version of the game downloaded for me. So basically I just show up for my time slot, bring my controller, and just grind the games out early in the morning before I go out on the town.
How many time slots do you have for that? That's what I wanted to know.
I got 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday and Friday morning, and then I might get that again Saturday.
Depending. Oh, that's not bad. You'll finish your games then. If there's like 25 or something, you should bang those out pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming 25. So
is that, you said you're on old gen, and I talked about my thing last night. You guys will see it on the episode coming out, but the, like, move to old gen, I did it myself for not the same reason as probably you are, because you're, in my opinion, a lock to make the GWC again. I'll say that. You don't have to say that. But I'm moving more so because I don't want to deal with all the club championships and all the schedules on the weekend. Now, what was your reasoning? Is this, like, kind of the same as Eki, you know, path of least resistance, make it so you can, you know, have a life and not have to stress about, you know, like, competing with Gren and Sophia and yada, yada, yada down the list? You know, is that pretty much the gist of it, I guess?
I was actually playing old gen from the start of the year, with the way GWC was ran last year and getting to speak with them at the event, there was no inclination for me that they would change away from the four consoles. And worst case scenario, I just transfer my team to the new gen, right? So there was literally like no risk in starting on old gen. But for me, like, I know there's the prize money for the club championships, but I wasn't too focused on that. I was more so focused on what's the best path for me to get to a North American final and then ultimately a world final. So sort of maybe sacrifice a little bit of money, but for a better opportunity at securing like a first place $28,000 and a world championship. So that was kind of the thought process for me. It's also nice because having 60 online open play slots is a lot more of a lock to qualify than winning a club championship. Because those club championships, there's so many good players now and people playing, and like those are long days, and like the way those tournaments are set up, it's not easy to win one. And only being able, I think you're allowed three or four to play in, or whatever the number is. Like,
yeah, it's four.
There's no guarantee that, and then you gotta go to an online open play if you're unable to do that with only like 28 spots, like 60 to 28 spots. Like that's a big difference.
Do you think this is the best the community has been in the game?
Yes.
Do you know why? Is it just like more information? Like everyone's now paying attention to like streamers and YouTubers, and not me, but like you guys, like watching like the top end guys. Do you think like that is why, or is it just less casuals? Like I find that this is like by far, like Division Two is hard. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So like everything you mentioned, I really think it's a combination of everything. Like for the most part, the top Twitch streamers are competitive players now, which I think is a little bit of a change from the past. So now that we have that,
there we go.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, now that we have that, these casual players are watching, like, players like myself, players like Polk, Gren, you know, like who's ever streaming, they're paying closer attention to the things we're doing and they're picking up on these things. And I also think that, the way the game is this year with how goalies can really steal a game a lot more than previous years. I think that helps create more competitive games with, you know, players that you may think shouldn't be competitive games. But
do you think that's better for the overall, like, I guess, future of like the esports, though? Because we've been talking about that a lot recently, where it's like the randomness kind of helps to where somebody could win that maybe wouldn't have won in years past.
So overall, I'd say it's a good thing. Because it's allowing more players to compete, and we're going to see more stories of, like, you know, players on the uprights and stuff.
But it's not good for you, though.
it's not good for me. However, I think it ultimately comes down to how these tournaments are being ran. If the way the game is now, if we're in a best of one setting, it's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But I still think that the better player will win in a best of three series. Nine out of ten times.
I think like one of the most insane things, like, so like I'm gonna be honest with you, as someone who casts the event and like cares about like the longevity of the event, if you and Gren are in the finals again, awful. Like, just because like I don't think it's talked about enough. Like everyone just, you know, is that you guys are like the best. But to think that like when it was there was a time where it was like best of one, and the fact that you two survived the bad games of this game is like that alone is wild.
To like, besides, you know, that, like, one year for you, Rex. Besides that one year,
which is the year you were probably the best. Like that was the year that you won everything in the HWC.
I won the three tournaments leading up to that, but yeah, that was one of the years where it was best of ones. But yeah, no, I think me and Gren for the last 3 years have proven that this game's not all luck based.
No,
that doesn't happen 3 years in a row. You know, ultimately, I really do think there's about now in NHL 23, there's about 15 guys that are all on a very similar wavelength and skill. But then I think there's about four to five guys that separate themselves, and it's solely just a mental component.
Who are those five?
You're going to put me on the spot here.
Can I name them and see if I'm right, Regs?
Okay, yeah.
You, Gren, Polgs.
I got one.
And this is where it gets tough. I was gonna say Jost, but he's not playing apparently, which he will play.
I'm gonna say Sap Alien.
Sap shows up for the biggies.
It's crazy, man.
The guy doesn't get phased.
Who is it besides the three I named then? The other
I'd say me and Gren for sure. I think Polgs is the most skilled player. I think he still has to work on the mental game a little bit.
He needs to win one. Yeah, he needs to
But once he figures that out, I don't know who's going to beat him, if I'm being honest, how much he plays and everything. But no, I think me, Gren, Polgs show up for big games.
Who do you think is in the next tier? Like, who do you think is like the next Gren and Regs?
See, I think it's you and Gren, and then it's just kind of, there's like you said, four or five guys, and then it's everybody kind of right there. Like, like 15, 20 people.
I think the guys right there, like right on that cusp, are Geimer and Joe's and Benny on install. I think those guys are the Nets guys up that are going to sort of replace me and Grennan, become the guys who are winning. If they don't win one tournament, they're winning the next one.
When do you think when do you think you're done?
Yeah, dude, like every year. That's what I wanted to know.
I remember when you were 16 years old, man, when I just started being a content creator. I met you at the Leafs land, where I met Padre, actually. That was like 2018. And you like won every single year, or a lot of them. Like, you struggled before, you won this last one overall, but
yeah, you like, didn't win that day.
You
big
play,
boy.
Like, you, play that day. You play less every year, and it's gotten to the point now where it's like stunning that you can, because when you think about it, like, regardless of what you play, you can play lawn darts, but you want to be the best in the world at it, you have to put in like just insane amounts of time. So like, when do you realistically think you're done? Is it just the next time, like, if GWC doesn't go your way, do you see yourself just being like,
no, if GWC doesn't go my way this year, I'm not gonna stop. For me, that I've said this before, I don't really play the game because I enjoy playing the game. I play the game. I play the game because I know I'm still capable of being one of the best, if not the best. So even if I, you know, don't have the results in the next couple of years, until I've honestly felt like I can't play at the top and like hang with the best.
Lose your fastball.
Yeah, you're like Tom Brady. You'll retire when you suck.
Yeah. When there is, like, yeah, it's like Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady feels like he's still a top 10 NFL quarterback, so he's not going to stop playing. If I still feel like I'm a top 10, top 15 player in the world, then I'm not going to stop. But
just like Tom Brady, he's sliding into that playoff spot in a weak division. You're sliding in on that Xbox One console. So there's a lot of similarities, honestly.
Exactly. You know, very similar.
No, Regs, I never won anything like you. Like, I won, like, small stuff. But, like, I was a lot like you. Same with Kesso. Good player, like really good players. In my opinion, we went to school, we had jobs, we had girlfriends, wife, now, you know, kids, yada yada yada. I feel like if you play the game of hockey or you watch the game of hockey, you have button skills and you hone your timing correctly, you can still
save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do it. Like, it's not, there's not a lot to it. Like, you probably put in your 20 champs games. I don't even think you play money games anymore. You're a lot like how I was, where it's like you play when you can. And the game, like, I know the game this year with the goalies, it's still the same kind of game. If you just like use your brain, you're like, oh, like, look at Kesso, he's doing that rat glitch. Oh, look at Grant, he's doing that glitch. And you kind of just learn things. I feel like, am I right about that? Kind of, you just pick things up. You don't play 1,000 scrims versus somebody over and over and over again. I don't think you have to do that, and you could still be really good. Am I right. wrong?
No, 100%. Exactly what you said, right? So, like right now, I'm not really making any content or streaming that much. So, it's like, when I go into a game against Eki, I don't know how to score the rap, but I'm going to make him think I know how to score the rap, right? So, he treats me like any other player. So, a lot of that is just, like, having an understanding of how you could manipulate your opponent's thinking of what you're going to do and stuff. And it, like I said, I honestly think at this point, like, everyone's on such a similar skill length that it really is just a mental game. As the series progresses now.
What do you think that, like, the players that have a shot at winning GWC, as opposed to, like, Hut Heroes, for anyone who doesn't know what a Hut Hero is, just someone who's very good at Hut and, like, hasn't done anything in the GWC or the NHL 23 World Championship. What do you think that you guys do differently in terms of preparing, or just, like, when you spend time on the game, what are you doing that makes you guys up there?
Yeah.
You don't just land there. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you guys all had to come up.
No, so for me, it's always finding a way to challenge myself. So I'm sure everyone knows old gen is quite a bit easier than new gen. So for me, the goal isn't now, okay, like, new gen, it was, all right, find a way to go 20-0. Now it's like, okay, I'm most likely going to go 20-0. Let's try to give up less than 20 goals in a Hut Champs. Let's try to score more than 100 goals in a Hut Champs. So just like little things to make sure when I am playing the game, I'm playing at 100% and I'm striving towards something. And then if those things aren't happening for me, then going back and evaluating, how do I fix this? How do I get better week to week?
Do you watch your own gameplay?
Getting really close to like an event, yes. Not like the qualifiers of an event, but like if I were to qualify for All-Star Game, then I'll put in that extra time, like make extra time available for myself to play more and look at things.
What do you look for when you're watching your own? I'm trying to think in the terms of like someone who isn't competitive, like just to kind of get on that wavelength. So like, what do you look for when you're watching your gameplay back?
So firstly, I'm looking for the first thing I do is I'll go through all my opponent's goals of whatever I'm watching to see where I'm making my mistakes. So that's the first thing I'll do. The second thing I'll do will be try to analyze for like any missed opportunities that I missed or mistakes I made. Not so much that led to goals, but stopped me from possibly scoring a goal or gave a quality scoring chance to my opponent. So those are the two things I'm looking for. And then it's really just like, for me, it's always been, okay, this is what this streamer is doing and he's the best at. How do I implement it into my game and become better at this than he is? So last
instead of trying to take it away, you just learn it and then try to do it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
that's a weird, odd way to go about it.
So NHL 18, NHL 19, you know, I'm watching Josh, who was the best at the time at the one timer. So it's like, okay, I'm going to implement this into my game and I'm going to become better at Josh at this. Last year it was, okay, Junior Pence kills people with rebounds. How do I implement rebounds?
Did you want better? A rebound?
Yeah, and I think that was the craziest thing watching you last year in GWC, because you incorporated that, and then you also did that play. I think you might have had like Kucherov or somebody with 1T at the blue line, where you like shifted them. Dude, that was like the coolest thing to see from like a competitive player like myself, because I didn't see anybody else doing that.
No, I remember watching you on your power plays. You would take Kucherov and you would move, like you'd rotate around until he was at the point, and then you would take one timers. Because for anyone that doesn't know, you get to a point in the GWC where there's a draft and you draft your team. So, but it's not every card available.
He was one of like three guys with gold 1T.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone knew how broken it was, especially from the point last year. So it's like
lefties.
So it's like, if people aren't screaming against me, no one's playing to protect against this until they run into me. And then at that point, like, I'm able to maybe get a quick one.
Who do you even scrim against though, whenever you're that close? Cause there's only like 4 to 8 people left. Right. So
me and Grant will just play 100 times.
What's so funny, you guys end up playing each other every single finals.
Yeah.
So anyone that doesn't know, the last three championships have been these two.
It's funny because 2021, when he beat me, I probably beat him in about 75% of scrims. And then last year, he probably beat me in about 75% of scrims.
I remember when you lost
the person who won the finals were like SWAT. So
you got blown out and ended up coming back and lost. And I think it lost in overtime. And I was like, oh man, like, I don't know. Like, that's crazy.
Are you guys talking when you scrim, or are you guys just like not even saying?
Nah, like we just text back and forth, like, you know, if something funny happens in the game, or like,
yeah, one of us
score a nice goal on each other, but no, we're not really talking, or like we're taking it 100% seriously. Like even if we lose to each other in scrims, we won't tell each other. But like when I lose in scrims, I'm pissed. I'm sure he feels the same way when he loses to me in scrims. It's just like, I don't want to lose him.
Yeah. Do you like how everything comes down to GWC? Not like here's the thing with you, and I've said this to Cookie before. You guys could quit the game right now, and you've done everything you could. You know what I mean? You won sixes, you've won championship. Like, Cookie won his hometown championship, and he won his sixth, you know, GWC in the same year. Like, you could just quit, and you've done it all. Like, you're playing with house money at this point, right? That's how I look at it. I know you're competitive, and I'm super competitive too. Like, same kind of thing. I get it. You want to win everything. But do you hate how, kind of back in the day, there was more tournaments, especially in Versus, and I think it's more like an even playing field? You're kind of like me, Kesso. You don't spend money, so it's, you know, I'm playing a God squad, but I know I'm better than the guy, but I still have to battle the team difference. Where back in the day, it was Versus, a lot of things, and it was more of like a measuring stick, I feel like, back then. You could be like, oh, like, you know, I beat Josh in this Versus tournament. Like, I beat him in that tournament. Like, I think I'm better than, you know. Now it's kind of, I feel like, tough to judge yourself. I know, like, Hut Champs, you know, the leaderboards, but it's kind of wonky. Is that wrong?
Yeah, no, I would prefer are prefer shaving the GWC prize pool into making the club championships be worth more money where everyone could compete in them. You know, I rather have more volume of tournaments because yeah, the money's great. Anytime I win a tournament, it's going straight into my savings basically. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, like I have a very rare opportunity where I'm able to make money gaming. That's going to, you know, help me with a down payment on a house in the future and stuff. Ultimately I want to win as many tournaments as possible. So I would prefer 32 tournaments of $5,000 in comparison to one tournament of $150,000.
That wouldn't be fun for all of us though, because you would win all 32. Like that just isn't cool at all.
I think it'd be a cool idea, honestly.
Yeah, no, it'd be great.
You could spread it out. All right. So like one of my last questions. So he brought up Kucherov, and you used kind of like an obscure team for some people because everyone, you know, the meta is the size and all that stuff. But when it gets to versus, it's more about the speed, the shooting. So was that your thinking last year for GBC? So what kind of players are you, I guess, currently using right now? Some of your favorite HUT players that you'll be using, I guess, in the All-Star game, you know, for some of our HUT fans out there?
the way I'm playing this year, I would draft a very similar, if not identical, team in a GWC draft.
You just took best available, right?
Yeah, it was weird. I took whoever was the fastest because, right, it's played in HUT, and I think it's filtered differently. The speed difference in versus isn't that noticeable, but a speed difference in HUT at those overalls for whatever reason feels like night and day for me personally. So that's what I would do again.
What's a card that you're using right now on your team that like you are like, this is my...
Yeah, my bad. I guess I didn't ask that. Yeah, what are you using right now? Like some of the guys.
MPP. Marie Philippe Poulin.
Dude, man, I've been telling people, man, whenever I go up against someone that has her, she just does not get knocked off the puck.
Doesn't get knocked off the puck. I swear she's skating under sticks because she's 5'5". But
it's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah, no, like players like that. So, like, my first line is the Timu Solani.
The Milestone?
Yep.
It's so funny how little...
Marie Philippe Poulin and X-Factor McDavid. That's my first line.
Okay. You see how X-Factor McDavid. All right. What do you do on defense? Give me a defense that you go for. Do you go for, like...
What abilities do you like? What abilities do you like, too?
I really like Stick 'Em Up this year. I have that. I have that activated on a couple this defensemen.
Wild.
And then I like Elite Edges, too. Especially the forward to turn around.
Tell the story. Yeah, tell that story because Kessler Sleeze has brought up in the past about your Elite Edges because a lot of people don't put Elite Edges on their D unless they have a car.
We did a video. Yeah. We did a video going over like abilities in the summertime, and you said that you love the Elite Edges on defensemen, and I was like, that makes no sense. And you pointed out that it stays on when you don't have the puck. Yeah. So like
the AI is using Elite Edges.
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah. Yeah, so even, you know, so for Stick 'Em Up's completely user-based. I actually don't even know this year. I feel like my CPU pokes at times when I don't even press a button, but
yeah,
that's another story. But no, this year I'm sort of preferring Elite Edges on forwards just because you can't score just one-timers anymore, so it's finding ways to use the L2 mechanic and get creative in and around the net and in tight spaces, and Elite Edges helps a lot with that.
People might not know, you're also one of the best sixes players in the world because you're just good at everything you do, which is frustrating. But do you feel like this year plays... It appears they made an effort to make all game modes play very similar because in the past there was World of Shell developers and there was 1v1. Are you noticing that the game feels a lot more like World of Shell?
Yeah, and I think the results of guys who are considered World of Shell players are a little bit higher this year. Hot champs in comparison to previous years.
Yep.
I think because of that, they've taken away sort of manipulating an opponent's AI into just scoring one timers. That's a little more one-on-one creativity, like with the L2 mechanic and stuff and Titan stuff. So
because a lot of saucers and cut plays.
A lot of saucers, a lot of cut plays, which is, you know, what...
Sick, that's all six.
Lot major component of 6v6, right?
You hate the goalies, though? Aren't the goalies just awful?
I don't like the goalies. Year, they, yeah. Like, so, because I want the game to be a similar experience to how I watch real hockey.
And thank you.
When, it is extremely rare. So I know people say that cross creases and one-timers are glitch goals, but like, how often do you actually see an NHL goalie save these?
That's what they're trying to do the whole game. You're trying to get a one-timer wide open.
Obviously, it's way harder to create those chances in real life in comparison to the video game, but the skill gap of players is also that much different. Like, if I'm playing someone like Gren or Polk's, like, they're not really giving me these cross creases.
I know,
like,
it's coming
all that often. Yeah. They know it's coming, but right? So I think the goalies need to be toned down. So like, for me, I would prefer that you score more one timers opposed to like the being able opposed to like a wrap, which
The wrap should go in every once in a while, but the fact that he goes in the butterfly and doesn't hug the post is like a legitimately an animation error.
Yeah, the fact that I could go into practice mode and score 10 out of 10 times is a problem.
That is.
Like something like that. Same with like when, you know, just straight lining down the side of the goalie and roofing it, right? When you like get close to the goal line. Just I would prefer those out of the game and me score on open one-timers. But
You got anything else?
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to ask you, so because we're going to be talking to Aki after this. Aki, and I think you guys are always viewed in like a tandem because you're the best NA player, he's the best EU player, plus he just had the quote-unquote world championship. Unofficial, right? So he's somebody that's embraced the full-time content creation thing, right? Like, so he has a YouTube channel, he streams more than you. You don't. You mentioned that earlier. You kind of haven't been doing too much content. It seems like you're hesitant to get too much into it because you want to focus on school and possible career after this. So once NHL's over, are you doing anything in this space? Or are you kind of like, I'm done with esports, I'm done with like content things, and you're just moving on?
I'm prepared for both. So I'm getting an HBCom degree with a major in accounting, but the great thing about an HBCom degree is it teaches you about everything else, you know, customer relations, HR, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of finance. So having over 3-4 years of experience working with esports organizations and now working with the Islanders and being in so many tournaments, I feel like with my degree also, I feel like I would be able to step into a position where I could help, with an NHL team and running like an esports team for them, sort of like the role that Jordan is doing with the Islanders. I feel like that's something with my experience and getting to work closely with people like Charlie and Jordan and understanding the space that I could use my schooling to further myself into NHL rather than doing that through a content side. So, So like if I were to continue doing NHL, like get the gaming full time, it wouldn't be as a player or a content creator, but
it would just be like more on the back end side,
business related.
You're a smart person. Like, you're a smart kid. Like, so I think that's the right thing. I think you could step into like any role and probably excel. Like, it sounds really dumb. I mentioned this on the podcast.
Very frustrating.
For the person that thought of like that Kucherov one-tee thing, like you have a good strategic mind. And I think that's a one-to-one applies to business, applies to a lot of things in life. So I think you'd have an easy time.
Yeah, I mean, if not, I mean, you got a great golf swing, so you could probably maybe just be in the PGA and something. Crush all of us in that, too.
I want everyone else to understand that you being so good at NHL potentially could have been one of the worst things for you because you are absolutely insane of Call of Duty. Like, you take down, like, amateur pros and stuff. Like, do you ever feel like when you're, I mean, we've played some Warzone together. I'm not very good. You carry me to dubs. But hey, like, do you ever feel like that? Like, do you ever feel like, man, I wish I could just, because you can't quit NHL.
Yeah, no. So, I think back to that. But ultimately, it was always important for me to obtain a degree in schooling and stuff. And Call of Duty, I would have had to make that my full time. I'm going for it. Whereas NHL, just from having such a good understanding of the game of hockey, the sport itself, that I'm able to find a balance with NHL esports and schooling. Whereas Call of Duty, I know I wouldn't have been able to do that. So,
You're mature.
Yeah, you're a smart kid, man. It still makes me laugh. We have that picture back from like 6 years ago now, man. When you were just a little kiddo, watch you growing up, man. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast to talk with us, and good luck in the All-Star Open, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. I look forward to watching this back and hearing what Eki has to say and everything. So thank you guys.
Yeah, dude, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, man. All right, guys, we are joined by the 2022 European GWC champion, my man Eki, and we just spoke to Regs, and now we're going to get all his thoughts on NHL 23 and the NHL 23 World Championship. Let's start there. All right, the name change. Isn't that weird?
For me, yeah. I thought they had a great brand with the Gaming World Championship name. I'm kind of surprised they changed it, to be
honest. Still call it the GWC?
I do.
Yeah,
I think everybody does. Yeah,
it's gonna be so hard to call that and not say GWC. But all right, man. Let's talk about the NHL 23 World Championship as you prepare to continue your reign in Europe. Is there anything this year that you're doing different to prepare for it? Are you playing more? Are you playing less? How is that going as you go into this year's NHL 23 World Championship?
Nothing different than I usually do. Just play as much as possible against as good of players as possible, and then go for there. And when GWC is coming up, the couple weeks before that, that's when I usually just triple my game amounts, basically, for those couple weeks. And then, other than that, I don't really even play that much, in my opinion.
Have you had any trouble, like, because I've noticed you're focusing on content so much more and not even, like, gameplay stuff, right? So how do you balance actually producing, like, you're an entertaining person. How do you balance that while still remaining competitive?
Well, that's actually, like, that's a really tough thing to do, and that's kind of what I've been trying to balance with. The great thing is, in NHL, you don't really have to play that much. Mm-hmm. I feel like when GWC comes around, it's pretty easy for those couple of weeks before the main GWC games to just maybe pause on the content side for just a bit and then focus your full effort on that gameplay to be on top of your game. But yeah, overall, I don't feel like it's a big issue. I don't overall think it's a big issue in NHL, but yeah, it's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, Padre, I'm muted.
Are you still doing the sixes stuff on the side? Like, are you? Yes. Are you still? I know you were playing like with an org and whatnot. So, do you enjoy sixes more, or are you more? Are you still 1v1? Like, you know what I mean?
I've actually, like, strictly enjoyment of the game, I've always enjoyed sixes more. I think it's a bit more realistic. I like the gameplay in sixes and just talking with the guys and playing at the same time. Right. I actually just strictly enjoy that more. Of course, 1v1 is. You know, 1v1 is bigger, and the biggest tournaments are in 1v1. 1v1 is more important to me, but 6v6 is just strictly more fun.
Are you still playing with Mikael Graham? I mean, sorry, Plea. Are you still playing with Plea?
Yeah, I am. He actually quit. Quit this year.
He's not playing anymore at all.
This guy
no,
quits
he's
after...
not playing at all.
So he knocked you out of GWC a few years ago, and now he just quits?
Yeah, well, he hated the game last year. He didn't like the game at the start of this year, so now he's just not playing it at all.
Are you guys real life friends too, or are you guys just like more like on the game? Like, did you guys talk? Like, I always wonder because I know you guys were like really close because the first year GBC they always showed you guys together and everything.
Yeah, basically our whole sixes team we've been together, or now this year we've had some changes, but before we played together for 3 years, so basically all the that's sixes. Cool. Guys, I'm playing with, like, I met them all over 5 times. We've been to Sweden together, watching, you know, repping our organization there in events and stuff. So, yeah, we've had fun.
Dude, you mentioned, let's talk about gameplay a little bit. So, 23 has been met with some pretty heavy criticisms in terms of a shift, really. It feels like they've tried to make gameplay uniform from 1v1 as well as World of Chell, which I think as a whole eventually will be good. It just seems like there were two separate games that they were developing every year, essentially, in terms of gameplay. Do you think that what it is right now is good and or bad, or what would you change about 23?
Strictly the gameplay?
Yeah, strictly gameplay.
Yeah. Well, number one thing I would change is that your AI wingers not coming down in your own zone, because they, even if you're running collapsing and protect net, they're still at the point, which I don't understand. The goalie
is... How do you counterbalance that?
For me, I just play Stackered because it's basically the same. I like how your defenders are positioned with Stackered, and then I just defend basically the middle with my center, and then yeah, just leave my wingers up there doing whatever they want. But it's sometimes very tough, and that's why that's the main reason I feel like behind the net place is so OP this year, because your wingers won't come down and you lose. When you defend with three players, it comes so hard to defend in front against the best players, because they know all the behind the net goals, they know when to cut in front and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's just like one loose puck and then they can like get a, you know, wrap around or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you think collapsing is broken basically?
Yeah, there's basically no collapsing this year. It's basically just collapsing stacker at type one. It's basically all the same.
Am I wrong? Like, I feel like 1-4 is maybe not 1-4 anymore. I feel like it's. I noticed like one of my guys being behind, like almost like a 1-3-1 ish like type of setup. Is that wrong too, or is that okay? 1-4 does 1-4 still work?
I think 1-4 is pretty similar. I think I'm running a 1-4. I haven't noticed the difference. It might be.
Everybody at the top level, like you said, in EU as well as NA, is running behind in that. Do you think you can win? Do you think players can win tournaments not running behind in net this year? Like, do you think Overload and Crash the Net are still viable?
I wouldn't say no one can win, because they're still with Crash the Net. Tips are super good this year. Low shots,
yes, like, they Crash are.
Crash the Net is good. I think Overload is the worst. You don't really get any advantages this year with Overload.
Only don't tell advantage. Sleazy that.
That's I love Overload. Strategy. I'm awful, but like I feel like I've like juiced all of that orange.
Yeah,
well, it's very easy to defend, but like there's stuff with it. Yeah. But yeah, like it's very easy to defend.
I loved Overload when the basic one timer was the best way to score. Like every time you got that open one timer, it went in. Overload, you always had that one guy with the one timer. But this year, when the one timers don't even go in, I don't really like get the point of running Overload.
I think that Overload is the easiest to teach people that don't know any strategies, like that are just trying to react. I think that Overload is the simplest because it's. Yeah. You can see it when it's set up. Yeah. Like, it's very easy to see it. Behind the net, everyone's moving. And crashing the net, there's really no predictability. Or there's a lot less predictability. And then, you're right with the points. Like, I just go for tip shots. Like, L2 at the point a little bit and fire for someone's stick. I just find that being hilarious. I can't wait for someone to win a huge game with that, though, because I bet their opponent is not going to be happy about it. Let's talk about HUD a little bit. We're recording this after Team of the Year release. We recorded Rags' interview just before. So what are the Team of the Year cards that you're chasing?
So I made McKinnon this morning, and I made Matthews. I played Matthews for 5 games. Didn't like him at all. I felt like he felt super stiff. He had one or two goals for me in 5 games.
Did you activate everything on him?
I tried different abilities. I felt like with Elliot HSC he felt a bit better, but without Elliot HSC he felt pretty awful. And then final one I'm doing is on Makar. I have 33 collectibles right now. I need that final 7, so I have 1 week to collect that 7. And
it's hard when you look at that. Like, do they have a week left? I did the same thing. I'm like, man, I got to figure out how to make Yossi. I got 40 collectibles I got to make.
Dude, I spent a lot of money today on packs. I'm not proud of it, but I need the team for GWC. I didn't get the best pulls, but I got enough to do those Team of the Years. And then I have the Axe Factor McDavid. I thought about exchanging that to the Team of the Year, but I actually think I like the Axe Factor more because he has the gold
baby,
wheels.
There we go. Yeah,
Podger's big on
wheels.
That.
He likes the gold wheels. That's what it is.
Yeah, because team what makes McDavid so much better than everybody is just he's just faster than everybody, even at 99 speed. Yeah. So I wouldn't lose that by making the team of
Do you notice McDavid, McKinnon, their custom skating strides and Eichel, and like because I feel like they're faster. I actually talked to some of the Sixes players. I don't know if it's the same way in the Sixes in EU, but they told me that we all use these goofy skating strides because we can hold on to the puck better. And I'm like, what in the world? So then I thought to myself, okay, let me go. Like, me and Sleaze went and looked at every guy last year, and those were like the three or four guys. Like
four random guys, man.
And Aaron and Sveshnikov, too, have it. And they all skate like so much faster. And I just feel like the gold wheels of McDavid, I know it's 10 AP. I was telling Sleazy and them yesterday, I'm like, man, I almost would keep his X Factor. I understand he's got silver, but there's something about the gold. I don't know. Maybe
The thing is, like, even the 92 X Factor has almost maxed out speed and maxed out puck skills. You don't need to upgrade the X Factor McKinnon like so much longer. So I wouldn't, for at least I won't waste, when I don't have the best team anyway, I won't waste the 20 collectibles making his team.
Do you like Matt? And I see you have the jersey in the background. I know you're a Leafs fan and you're a Matthews fan. You probably go to the Coyotes anyways. But anyways, do you like him on center or do you like him on the wing? I always like him on the wing because he's got that glitchy shot. Like he's got that weird one-timer animation too.
Dude, I think in Versus, I play a lot with Toronto. He's usually amazing at center, but I tried this Team of the Year card at center, and he wasn't working for me at all, at least at the start, so I probably will have to try him at the wing, see how he is.
Let me ask you about abilities, man. Again, I think that because this is going to, like, the game feels a lot more like sixes, so you're seeing a lot of abilities that might not have been, like, I don't think No Contest is a pretty big sixes ability, and it seems to be pretty prevalent in 1v1 now. But what abilities are you talked about McDavid and having 10, like, I want to talk about wheels because there's a lot that comes up a lot, and I bet there's a lot of people that are going to be contemplating making McDavid as the other ones. Is using wheels on McDavid worth, you know, essentially 20% of your AP? When all the cards now, I feel like last year there was a lot of cards that maybe had one ability that were good, but now they're like, they're much more knowledgeable when it comes to what people want on in terms of abilities. And it's like all these cards are coming out with multiple great abilities. Is it advantageous to just sprinkle a couple good abilities on a few cards, or like heavy load one or two and three? Like what do you do in terms of abilities?
That really depends on the player. Whatever, okay. Like for me, it's important to get your best players to work. So whatever, whatever makes that happen. A big reason again why I won't do the Team of the Year McDavid is wheels cost 10, but then if I do the Team of the Year, I probably have to run Elite Edges on him close quarters. What so, he had unstoppable force. It's even more than the wheels actually. So it's tough. Like. Yeah, even like McKinnon has all these great abilities, but end of year when it's GWC time, your couple first lines are stacked. You can't anyway have all of his abilities active, so it's a very tough thing to balance. I usually my top two lines and my top four defensemen is where I try to stack the abilities and just have none in the bottom lines.
Speaking on abilities for goalies. Do you notice butterfly effect at all as like being like a good ability, or do you still think it's just worthless to invest in goalies? Like Team of the Year Shesterkin came out. Would you recommend making him to people or no?
No, I think it's too small. I haven't tried many goalies this year, but the ones I've tried with abilities, I honestly haven't noticed the difference. But again, I've only played with Markstrom. I tried to
You're rocking Markstrom Thompson. Like me and like everybody else. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not really. I haven't really tried many goalies. I wouldn't use ability points on goalies. Last year, post to post was very good. Yeah. I haven't tried it this year, but I wouldn't think you need it.
Yeah.
The Isles event, you just got back from it. How was that? Like the whole experience? I mean, it looked awesome on the, you know, the stream and whatnot. And Jordan does a great job, obviously, and you and Rex had good games, and I'm sure like the games were kind of just like a small part of it. You didn't really care after that because you had a great time, I'm sure. How was that?
Yeah, it was awesome. The two NHL games with the best seats possible, especially I live in Finland. I never get to go to NHL games, so it was absolutely awesome. Games were fun, even though it was kind of show match, but obviously we still were very competitive, and I wanted to play Rex. I haven't played him in a long time, see how he plays, and yeah, really, really enjoyed the trip.
What does Regs do that makes him so good in terms of North American like players? Like, what does he do different that like other players that you might see don't?
Just comparing to other players, I felt like he defended zone entries like unbelievably good. And then,
I think that's his sixes experience.
That's his sixes. Showing, people forget that like he is one of the best defensemen in sixes, and I feel like that is like definitely like a big bonus.
So that really jumped. That was the number one thing that jumped out to me. The second one was just his behind the net plays. So, he knows how to run behind the net, when to pass, when to hold it, and then he can throw a random spin around a goal in there every now and then.
He did do that
when he was on. I complimented him on that one.
Yeah. So, he's super dangerous. But I honestly felt like he's. Like zone entries are probably one of the most important part of competitive games, and he was probably the best I've faced like regarding that. Like it was very hard to get to his zone. So Yeah.
A lot of the new people that might listen to this episode because of you are EU players. You're definitely the favorite going into NHL 23 WC. I almost said
GWC. Attaboy, Kevin's going to love you.
Yeah, and so besides you, you're the favorite. Who are some other people you think can win the EU championship this year?
The best player I faced this year is Pikku Roger. He won my own tournament that I run at the beginning of the year, but he actually went to the army, so I'm not sure if he's able to play the GWC.
Is he from Finland?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was doing... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so army is mandatory in Finland, basically, yeah. So everybody has to do it at some point. Yeah. So, and then I feel like Artuzzo is always there. Nikke Dangles has been good for ages. Jamal the Man, last year's finalist. I feel like Jamal will actually, like, if I would have to name one player who makes it, or two players beside me who could make it, Jamal would be one and Artuzio two, just because they handle the nerves the best out of everyone in EU. I feel like there's younger guys who have maybe more skill, but who just can't play at the same level when it comes down to big tournaments. So, yeah, I'm like, dude, Jamal was doing like random saucer between the legs stuff in our like when we played for 15,000. It was ridiculous.
And, that was nuts.
This is just me being like American and not knowing. So you have to like enroll in the army. Like, can you talk about that? Like, just, I'm just curious, like, more. So yeah. Did you already do it? I guess I'm guessing, or?
No, I haven't.
How long do you have to do it?
So the minimum is 6 months. So usually you get 6 months in and out. Sometimes you can get unlucky. It's 9 months to 12 months. But usually if you want to go for 6 months, it's 6 months. You usually have to go.
Right?
Yeah, it's still. I think the maximum age is like 27, 28. Maybe Finns can help me out.
There was a goalie that in the NHL. I think it was a Columbus. That was an issue. Like, he had to go. Mm. He hadn't done it yet. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, like that's really interesting that players have to go do that. I want to talk about Jamal Man. Do you feel like there is a lack of new players that get to the top end? And why do you think that it takes so long to get up onto like the stage of being a potential GWC player? Because I know in North America now we're finally seeing like the second wave, but like the first 4 years, it was really, really hard for anyone new to break into the GWC. It was really just like Gren Reggs, you know, and John Wayne and Junior Penn. So is there a lot more newer players, or what do you think is holding it back?
Dude, in Finland, I would say there's probably at least 10 players who, in my opinion, are just skilled enough to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, especially in GWC, that you notice it when you play against players that people can't handle the nerves. It's big money. It's at the end of the day, single elimination series. It's just totally different. I think that's the biggest thing. If you were there the first couple of years, you've gotten the confidence that you can be there again. It's a lot tougher to beat you in the single elimination events.
I think that's what made John so good. Like, back in there, exactly. There was something about John Wayne.
No, there's like John. Okay. There's no way John was one of the like most skillful guys, right?
No, I used to harp on him all the time.
Man. Yeah, exactly. He was the best on LAN, especially mm-hmm. when the stakes were big. His gameplay really worked for that.
It was wild to watch. He was going to always be one of the most fun players to watch with that, because I would tell him all the time, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to do it. And the second he gets to a LAN, it's like it's just ice in the veins. There's something about it.
He would go out and drink the night before. I remember we were in Detroit. This is the first time I ever met him. And we're playing a LAN, and I show up and stroll in, and I'm like, oh, I get to meet John Wayne finally. He comes in. He just reeks of booze. I'm like, dude, there's no way this guy's going to win today. He just goes and wins the whole thing.
He beats HK and beats HK,
this is no big deal. Eki and John's our, you know, he's our friend. And I know, like, some people would get like really sad. I think you have a good personality where you're just like, whatever, like, I don't even care. Do you ever get sick of his stupid, I'm sending him back across the pond, he fires up the stream at 3 a.m. and he's watching his highlights from 6 years ago?
Like, yes, I've got that super annoyed, because I don't know what, like, when I met the guy 18, 19, I loved him. like he was totally great. He was like awesome, and then a couple of years he's gone nuts. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, he does like random things, like he says about me too. It's just like random. I don't get it either.
He's an interesting fellow. An interesting fellow. But
one thing I wanted to. Oh, you were about to say something.
I was about to say on LAN. Like that's one thing I've always felt like LAN gameplay is totally different to online gameplay. So especially like guys like John Wayne or even myself are super good at LAN because the gameplay is just slower. So the patient kind of slow gameplay works a lot better at LAN than it actually does online. That's my number one goal every year in every tournament. Just get to the LAN and you probably have a good chance to win it.
Yeah, just get to the dance.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing we asked Reki and I wanted to ask you.
Regs, so you did the Reki thing.
Yeah,
too,
Regs. Oh,
which
God,
is so
yeah,
hard Regs. To call as a commentator, by the way. I hate when you two are on the same thing the amount of times I want to say Reki.
So one thing we asked Regs, and I want to ask you. So we've watched your stuff like the last, like, what, 5 or 6 years it's been now. It's been really interesting watching you, like, your personality's like shown so much more, I think, the past couple years. You're hilarious. Some of the stuff you post on YouTube, like you have your like teaching your girlfriend how to play NHL. So the question is, there's going to come a point, maybe next year, maybe 5 years from now, you're not going to be as good as you are now. It seems like you're positioning yourself more for like that content creation career. Is that your plan post-competitive NHL, or is there anything else in your mind? What are your plans when the skill's not there anymore?
That's a great question. I've thought about it kind of a lot, but at the same time, I'm just focusing on still being at the top. And at the same time, I know NHL isn't a big game. Content creation is very important. So I'm trying to focus on that more and more. And
yeah, I think you're crushing it. You're almost at what, like 30,000 YouTube subscribers now. So
yeah, I think the subs overall, or like the viewers overall, still need to be a bit higher for me to like totally do content full time. But it's very close. So that would be my dream, where I could just do content and all the gaming stuff would be at the side, where I would have no pressure to compete in tournaments. So that's kind of where I want to get to at the end of the day. And it's like year by year we're getting, or like I'm getting closer. But yeah, at the same time, like I think about it a lot, but I don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I get it, because you're still like, I mean, you're still clearly the best EU player, so it's like not there yet, so it's not something you have to worry about. But I do like how you mix in like fun stuff too. Like, it's not strictly like I'm somebody that posts like gameplay tips and that's it. You actually have like cool ideas and like creative like videos and stuff, so I respect it a lot.
Yeah, I like your Road to the GWC videos. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I might be watching a little bit too, just to hear you say McDavid. I think if I was single and I had your accent and I could be American, I could be like the biggest wheel ever at a bar. I mean, that accent's unreal. I love it, because I'll do it when I stream. I'm like, what a goal by McDavid. I love the way you say it. It's the best. Oh,
it's very good. Yeah, I'm gonna give you props for the content, by the way, man. So I'm someone who pays attention to everyone. I don't like watching YouTube videos. It's something I've never done, just because I think that as a YouTuber, if you watch other people's YouTube videos, even if you don't mean to, you can like subconsciously, you know, take ideas or start doing mannerisms and things other creators are doing. So I try and stay away from YouTube. But man, your TikTok, when I saw your TikToks with the controller, that was one of the first times in like a year or so that I've seen someone post something where I'm like, man, I missed out. That was not because like I take pride in trying to be not ahead of everyone, but like do stuff and keep changing and doing stuff that I'm doing to try and be like the first to do stuff, because I feel like that's important in a small player base. But man, I think that you're gonna be huge on TikTok. And why did you start doing that?
That's a great question. I honestly hate TikTok myself. I hate
that. So do I, man. I hate making TikToks.
Yeah. I think it takes it's like just the feeling I get from watching like TikToks like this. I hate it. Mm-hmm. But just like it came more actually from ENS, the organization I represent. Like why don't
I saw
you do
a promotion? Like they were promoting it.
Yeah. So I was like. Yeah, so like I was thinking, like they were thinking, why don't I do TikTok? And then at the same time, I know TikTok is a super big place. I just haven't liked it myself. That's why I was so late to TikTok. But the views I'm getting there now, like it's
a match, man. It doesn't matter where. Like it's better than every other platform for that.
Is it as big in Finland as it is here? Like, I'm assuming it is.
Massive. Everybody uses it. And as a content creator, TikTok is kind of the dream, because the clips are like the easiest thing ever to do to TikTok. Like, YouTube video takes 10 times the effort that TikTok does. So,
are they banning it in any places? Because I know, like, in America, they're starting to ban it, like, in certain states. And I don't know if that's happening over there at all. I'm just curious. Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, certain states, it's crazy over here right now.
They're banning it in the U.S.?
Yeah, in certain
states.
There's
been a lot of talks of it, yeah.
There's a lot of talks of it. All right, yo. Last question before we get you out of here, all right? Okay, if you had to tell someone... You had to make one team of the year. It doesn't matter what it is. What team of the year are you telling people to make?
McKinnon.
McKinnon.
depends if you have McDavid. If you don't have X-Factor McDavid, then do McDavid. Everybody needs to have some sort of version of McDavid in their team. Best card. Mm-hmm. But
you're saying if they don't have the X-Factor McDavid, you need to make 40 up to... Okay.
Yes. Okay. They need to make that team of the year.
What about if you keep re-rolling... the X factors to try to get McDavid the next few weeks, you know, months and what, and then you get him and maybe use his 89 primed. I'm just making up. So, you know what I mean? Cause all of his cards are kind of good. I use his base card still. Cause I haven't had the luck of getting his X. You know what I mean?
Actually, you could do that as well. Okay. But just the couple games I tried with McKinnon, I think is unbelievable. You can play whatever way you want with him. You can put wheels on him. He Elite just, he can be this fast ballerina guy going everywhere, or then you can put code unstoppable force on him. You can't get the puck away from him. He's still fast, and he has truculence for some reason.
Dude,
my favorite.
When I saw that, I started chuckling to myself when I did the Zegras stream. I saw, like, because he showed us at all at the same time, so I'd never seen the card. Yeah. I saw the truculence, and I was like, oh my god, what are they doing here?
Yeah, I don't understand why they gave McKinnon truculence.
Do you activate that on him? But... Last question. Yep. What is the most important ability in the game?
Oh, okay.
Multiple ones that you think are most important.
Give us a couple.
Yeah. Your favorite ones.
Okay. Well, a couple. Yeah, stick 'em up is great. Truculence, like I said. Close quarters is absolutely awesome. Wheels, especially gold wheels. You can't have them many in your team, but one gold wheels in your team is...
Yeah,
it's pretty must in my opinion. Then I feel like I'm forgetting something. The shooting
force,
unstoppable force is great.
We're on the same page.
That's just the skating ones.
One more question for me, though. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I was about to ask you.
Do you watch any North American people stream? Like, I know, like, Sleeves, because the time zone difference. Do you know how does that work for you? Because sometimes I'll catch you. I'll be like up real late, and I'll be like, oh, Eki's live, like really late. But yeah, you know what I mean? Or it's like the morning here. Yeah. So do you catch any guys, or do you ever watch any? Like,
well, I usually stream earlier in the day, like Finnish time. It's very late for you. So usually there's no one else streaming at that time. So when it's later at night, I'm at home, I might open a Sleeve stream.
Let's go.
Like that.
That's cool.
I mostly like to watch, like, if Gren and Pollux play, there's a couple shout outs. Like other competitive players, especially in North America, because you guys play, I feel like, a lot different. So it's kind of nice to see what you guys,
what your top players are doing.
Yeah,
it's always fun.
A true student of the game over here.
Yeah,
dude, I want to thank you for hopping on and talking GWC and NHL 23 as a whole, man. And I hope you'll come back again as we start to talk a little more, a bunch more people leading up to the World Championship, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com?
We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.